So let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. We're actually going to look at the story of the wise men coming to worship this new king that's been born. And we've called this is our Birth of Christ series, Supernatural. And so this is the fifth part of this, of God's New Hope. And when I started thinking about the new hope of Jesus being born into the world, God himself coming as man, being born as a baby and coming to redeem the world, my brain goes to movies a lot, and so I immediately thought of Star Wars. Episode 4 of Star Wars is actually called A New Hope, where you've got this this young kid, Luke Skywalker, has no idea that he's from this line of Jedi Knights, and he's going to end up partnering with this Rebel Alliance to save the universe, you know. But he doesn't know that. He just comes as this kid, and you've got the evil empire, you've got the good guys, you've got the bad guys. It's interesting how Matthew 2, actually, we have all of these same things of this baby that's been born. He's going to be the savior of the world. You've got an evil king who's actually committing not full-on genocide, but killing all these babies of 2 years old and younger, every male child 2 years old and younger. I mean, pretty intense. And you have these men of means coming from other nations coming to worship. You've got this international coalition coming together. So that actually doesn't, we don't get to see that play out until later. But let's read Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 1. I'm reading in English Standard Version. So now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Imagine that. They're rejoicing exceedingly, also with great joy. These kings, I think they lost their dignity for a little bit. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now when they departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene. So there's Matthew chapter 2, the story of these wise men coming from the east. These are not Jews. These are not men who you would think in that culture. They would say, oh, these people are coming with news of the Messiah. These are folks outside the realm of where you would think God is going to speak. God is gonna move, and he breaks in on these men who we don't know anything about them. We know that they come from another land. They come from another nation. They may have been another religion. We don't know. But God sovereignly broke in on their lives, revealed his plan to them, and they said, there's a king going to be born. Now, how much do they really know? We don't know. So let's recap where we've been over the last 4 weeks. We keep seeing God breaking in supernaturally, all revolving around Jesus, all revolving around the birth of Christ. So here's the recap. After 400 years of silence, God has begun speaking to his people. The priest Zechariah had seen an angel who brought him a message, so God's breaking in on the clergy. Zechariah's wife was then supernaturally able to conceive and give birth. Her cousin Mary also conceives a child, even though she's a virgin. Mary's fiancé, Joseph, sees an angel in a dream who tells him not to be afraid, but to take Mary as his wife, that her son, Jesus, was of the Holy Spirit, would save his people from their sins. So they travel to Bethlehem for the census. Mary gives birth, Jesus is born, and these blue-collar shepherds are out working the night shift, and an angel appears to them, and he tells them the good news of the birth of the Messiah. Then an entire group of angels shows up, and they're all declaring the good news. After Jesus is born, Mary and Joseph dedicate him at the temple, where an old man named Simeon has been told by the Holy Spirit that he would see the Messiah before he died. This old man comes, says, led by the Spirit to the temple, and he sees Jesus, and he begins to declare Jesus to be the Messiah. And then an old woman at the temple comes. Her name is Anna. The Bible tells us she's a prophetess. She began speaking to everyone about Jesus as she's praising God. All this has already happened when we come into Matthew chapter 2. You have angels, you have dreams, you have prophetic words, you have supernatural activity. Miracles are happening, and we'll get back to some of that in a little bit. As these wise men then show up, probably as much as 2 years later. Jesus is now no longer little baby Jesus in the manger. Jesus is toddler Jesus. He's probably stumbling around, you know, just starting to walk. And these wise men come looking for this king who's to be born. And the Bible tells us that the heavens themselves declare the glory of God. Literally, you can look out in creation. Look out go out at night, look at the stars, go out, I mean, anywhere, just look out and go, wow, this all declares the glory of God. Now, these men, maybe they've never heard that there was a Messiah coming. They may not know, but they study the heavens, and they know from the heavens something is happening. What it was, we don't know exactly. They saw a star. Is it a new star? Don't know. Is it the way the stars are moving in the heavens? We don't know. What is this? We don't know. But God used it in the heavens to speak to these men. Now, there's three things about these guys that I've noticed. They're absolutely, like, they're like the polar opposites to the shepherds that we talked about last week. Blue-collar men that are not, they don't have anything as far as society's status. They're just guys. And God breaks in on average people to bring the good news to them. And then we have these men. These are men of education. These are men of science. And they're men of foreign origin. They are not Jews. And we see right from the get-go, as Jesus is born, this new covenant that's coming, this reconciling not just of men to God, but also men to each other. When Paul writes in Galatians and he says, you're no longer slave or free, Jew or Gentile, male or female, we're all one in Christ Jesus. God has made us together, one new man in Him. Now, if you would have come to Jerusalem bringing news of the Gentiles are coming in to the kingdom of God, the non-Jews are coming in, they're going to have just as much inheritance in this new kingdom as the Jews, you would not have been received well, because they saw themselves as the elite. We have the message of God. We carry the good news. We have a higher status than all the rest of the nations of the world. God's chosen us over you. And it's amazing how God chooses to go completely outside of the system and go to these men in another nation who they show up saying, where's this new king? And the king in Israel says, what king? What are you talking about? The people you would think would be in the know, the ones you would expect, oh, these guys have, they've got the corner on God. They've got this all figured out. They don't even know what's coming. And I'm sure to these Israelites, it's a bit of a slap in the face. Oh, like God would bypass us and go to these other guys? Actually, yes. Yes, He would. And these men who are not like them show up. These men, they're men of means. They had the ability to drop everything and go. They had the ability to read the heavens and know what was going on and come. They're men of learning. Guys, God will reveal Himself to people that are like you, and God will reveal Himself to people that are not like you. God will reveal Himself to the people you least expect. The people that you'd think, no, that could never happen. They've got it all together. They don't really need Jesus. They don't really need the gospel. They don't really need this. Yeah, they do. And God loves the world. God loves the nations of the world. This is the God we serve, and He is continually breaking in to new cultures, breaking in to nations, bringing the good news to them. Jeremiah 29:13 says this, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And that promise is out there for everyone. It's out there for every nation, every people group, the highest of the high, the lowest of the low. When you seek me, you'll find me. When you seek me with all your heart. These men are seeking, they're studying in the heavens. They may not have even known what they were looking for. And yet God breaks in and reveals them. The Bible also says in Isaiah 65:1 that God reveals Himself to people who aren't even seeking Him. Now how annoying is that? Wait, they didn't even earn this. They didn't deserve this. They didn't deserve to have Jesus break in and change their lives and bring hope to their lives. They didn't deserve that. They weren't even seeking. Well, these are the people that Jesus came to save. Sometimes the very people you think are completely off the radar are the very ones that God is working on their hearts. He's orchestrating the circumstances of their life to bring them to a point where they can encounter Jesus, the Messiah. This is what God does. So God's new hope, Jesus, comes to men of wisdom in unexpected places. Don't write off the wealthy. Don't write them off as, oh, nah, they can't really come. God says it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And you can almost write off people as like, no, their fulfillment comes from something else. They've got all this money. They've got all this. Well, these wise men represent exactly those people who have it all together. They've got their careers. They're independently wealthy. They don't need you. They don't need your gospel. Yes. Yes, they do. They need Jesus just like you do. Now, you'll notice when this hope, the good news of a king, good news of the Messiah comes, the reigning king in Israel's not happy about this. He sees Jesus, he sees the Messiah as a threat. And he wants to have everyone killed. I jotted this down in my notes. God's new hope is opposed by men of evil influence. And in parentheses, I wrote King Herod and Darth Vader. Jesus was not opposed by Darth Vader, just to clarify. But you always have an opposition. Herod opposes the sovereignty of God. God is moving. God's plan is coming. His kingdom is coming. You're not going to stop God's kingdom. And yet, Herod tries to stop him. If you jump back into the Star Wars saga, Darth Vader does everything he can do to stop the advancement and of the return of the Jedi. In Jesus' story, whether it's Jesus, whether it's Luke Skywalker's story, whether it's your story, there's going to be opposition when God begins to move in your life, when the gospel is being extended in your life. Don't be surprised when there's trouble. Don't be shocked when there's opposition. Don't be shaken because there's persecution, because there's trials. There's going to be opposition to the good news. This terrible tragedy occurs in Bethlehem, and all these children, all these babies and toddlers are executed systematically, just taken out, and you can kind of be left going, God, wow, how could you let this happen? What do you do with that? Now, just when I read this story, I recognize we don't always get the why. Now, all these families, all these moms that can't be comforted because they've just lost their children, we don't always get the why. We don't always have all the answers when there's trouble. But we do know this: God's kingdom is still moving forward, and there's going to be a reward to come. We always know that. It reminds me of a story in the Old Testament of Job. Actually, the earliest book written down in the Old Testament, Job, as God is playing out this amazing story of a man who's able to continue to worship Jesus or continue to worship God in the face of loads of trouble. And in that story, Job loses multiple children. Multiple children die, and we never get the answer why. But what we do get the answer of, that didn't make any sense. The answer we do get is who. Who is moving? Who is behind all of this? Ultimately, God's plan is being carried out. It's happening. There's going to be opposition, guys. When the gospel comes to your life and you begin to walk it out, you begin to reach out to others with the good news of Jesus Christ, don't be surprised when the devil opposes it. And I wrote these things down. You'll find distractions, you'll find disasters, you'll find delays, you'll find disruptions, you'll find trouble because there's an enemy who wants to oppose others receiving the gospel. He wants to oppose it. So don't be surprised. We have a promise from Jesus. It's one of those promises that the name it and claim it folks probably don't love. It says this, in this world, you will have trouble. It says, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. Don't you want that promise for yourself? Oh yes, Jesus, I'm claiming this for myself. Trouble. What? Right here in River City. Trouble. Jesus says there's going to be trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He doesn't expect you to walk out and carry out his plan, his purpose, and move out with the gospel in the world without helping you. The third thing on here, I said, God's new hope is accompanied by supernatural help. Always. He's always accompanying us with supernatural help. It's interesting to me how these wise men, we call them the Magi, they're led by a star. They come to Jerusalem. They come to the king, assuming that this new king to be born probably is in the house of the king. And then they're led to Bethlehem. The star actually comes over Bethlehem, and they come there. And then they're warned in a dream not to return to Herod. Don't go back. Don't tell this king where the Messiah is. You see how God is leading them? He's supernaturally speaking to them through their dreams. They're warned in a dream not to reveal Jesus' whereabouts to Herod. Then Joseph is warned in a dream by an angel from God. This saved Jesus' life. Then again, Joseph is led by two more dreams. He's in Egypt. They're kind of waiting. They're in exile in Egypt just to be safe. And then Joseph gets warned in another dream, or not warned, he gets led through this dream and says, go ahead and go back to Israel. The king who sought the child's life is dead. Now, if you had a dream that said, okay, this is where you live, this is where you are. I mean, can you imagine if you just had a dream and God says, oh, it's okay, you go back to Burundi now. I'm thinking I'd be talking to people about this. Like, what are you doing, God? Do I need to eat less before I go to bed? You know, my dreams are getting very vivid. What am I doing here? But this is exactly what happens. Joseph is told in a dream, it's okay, go back. Then they're headed home, and he's warned in another dream, don't go to this part of Israel. Go to this other part of Israel. God is supernaturally involved at every point in this story. When these wise men, they've been checking out these signs in the heavens for a couple of years by the time we meet them. And then people are having dreams. I jotted this down. Through the supernatural birth of Christ, we've seen prophecy fulfilled, new prophecy declared, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, supernatural healing and miracles, signs and wonders with the supernatural births, angelic messages, supernatural dreams, and people who are open to God's leading and direction through all of this. If I say to somebody, I was praying and I really felt like God was speaking to me. I know a lot of people in Spokane who say, you're crazy. You're nuts. And yet, this is exactly what God does. He speaks to his people. When he says, I am Emmanuel, God with you, like he's with us. The Bible promises us that. Like, here we are gathered, says, where two or more are gathered together in my name. That's saying unified together. When we're unified together, it says, he's with us. God is with us. That's cool. But look out, because this God who's with us speaks. This God who's with us does things. He's not passively with us. He's actively with us. He's engaging with us. He wants to engage with his people. When Jesus went to heaven, we sang about him being risen from the dead. And his disciples are so excited. And he says, actually, I'm going to leave again. And I'm going to ascend to my Father. He says, but it's better that I go. It's better for you that I go. Because when I go, I'm going to send the Spirit. And he did. He sent the Spirit of God to be with all of his people, that we can hear from God. We can expect to hear from God. I wrote this down. We can expect God to move supernaturally in our lives. We can expect supernatural breakthrough. One of our core values is that we're a people of word and spirit. It means if you're expecting to hear from God prophetically, if you're expecting God to actually speak to you in your dreams, you darn well better be a people grounded in the Word of God. Or we could get really wacky really fast and just get blown everywhere. But being a people who we're moored and grounded in the Word of God, that when we feel like we're hearing from God, we always test it and we always weigh it right here. But we can expect it. We can also expect opposition, and we can expect Jesus to be the same God today that he has been through the pages of the Bible, through the pages of history. Guys, Jesus is the new hope. It's really the same hope. He is the same hope that God promised from the beginning. Way back, the early pages of the story in Genesis. He's the Savior of nations. He's the one who reconciles people and peoples together to God. This is the Jesus we serve. I just want to challenge you as we wrap up this series and we come into 2013. Expect God to speak to you in 2013. Expect Him to lead you. Expect Him to bring breakthrough. Expect it. Because this is what He said He'll do. This is just who He is. He's the God who speaks. He's the God who moves. Not past tense moved, but moves. Present. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for breaking in to our lives. Lord, each of us has heard the story. We've heard the story of the gospel. We've heard the story of your birth. God, we want to be a people that continues to receive the good news of Jesus in our lives. Lord, I want to continually receive the gospel in my life, that you came to save sinners who did not deserve it. You came to reconcile us to God. You came that we could have life everlasting with you. You came to reconcile people groups together. You came to reconcile nations, to make us one new man in Christ. And you came doing all of this with signs and wonders. You came doing it supernaturally, and you told us to go and do the same. God, we want to be responsive to your word, responsive to your command. We say, here we are, God, use us. Here we are, move in our lives supernaturally. God, use us to heal the sick. Use us to prophetically encourage others. Use us to bring hope to people. And God, we expect to be used this year. We expect to partner with you. We expect great things. I just thank you, Jesus, for what you have in store for us, that your new birth in us is effective. Your life in us is effective. Your Spirit in us and through us is effective. God, we fix our eyes and our hope on you this year, and we expect great things. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.